Please bow your heads and pray with me. Father God, we thank you that you're present with us this morning. Holy Spirit, as you're here in this space, fill us with your presence. Speak to us this morning. Take these words and thoughts of mine, use them to speak to us. Take our ears and finely tune them in the midst of all that I say, Jesus. It's your word we'd hear. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. 4th of July weekend. I thought I would do a little internet study on the religious history of the United States. It said this: began first with the Pilgrim settlers who came on the Mayflower in the year 1620. Their Protestant faith motivated their movement as a community to the New World from Europe, where here they could practice their religion in peace. The Spanish set up a famous network of Catholic missions in California. However, most of the early American settlers came from Protestant backgrounds, Britain and the continent, with a small portion in California of Catholics, as well as in Maryland. A few Jews in the port cities. The English and the German Americans brought along many Protestant denominations. Several colonies in the early days had established churches, which meant that the local tax money went to the established denomination. Many of the founding fathers were active in their local church. Some of them, such as Jefferson, Franklin, and Washington, had deist sentiments rather than Christian sentiments. Then there were the awakenings, the first and second Great Awakening, two major revivals in our early history in the early 18th century, and injected a new fervor in these Christians. As a result of the new vigor, denominations set up colleges to train leaders for the next generation, as well as hospitals to care for the sick. It's interesting, if you do a study of most of the Ivy League colleges, they started with Christian roots. Later, the Roman Catholics as well set up a private school system through most of the Northeast. It's in this context that we read on July 4th, 1776, these words: when in the course of human events it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with one another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station of which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them, a decent respect for the opinions of mankind requires they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and they're endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. Among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We have quite a heritage. But I dare say the words of the Declaration of Independence, of which I read at the beginning, would not be written in our cultural context today. We're not what we were. The world has become very different. Our culture has become very different. We now live in a post-Christian culture. The cultural values around us, as we watch Supreme Court rulings, as we watch local governments, are no longer necessarily sharing the values you and I hold as Christ followers. We are swimming upstream. We are counterculture, Earl, in the way we're living. But Jesus understood this. He wrote John 17, verse 13. And now I'm coming to you. I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that my joy may be full and complete and perfect in them. I've given them and delivered them your word, your message. And the world has hated them because they're not of this world, do not belong to the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you will take them out of the world, but that you will keep and protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, worldly, belonging to the world, just as I am not of this world. Or in that pithy version of the message: I am saying these things in the world's hearing, so my people can experience my joy completed in them. I gave them your word, and the godless world hated them because of it, because they did not join the world's ways, just as I did not join the world's ways. I'm not asking that you take them out of the world, but that you guard them from the evil one in the world. They're no more defined by the world than I am defined by the world. Make them holy. The world is not our friend. The world and its values increasingly are at odds with the lifestyle and values of Jesus. But we are called to be Christ-like. So if we leave this space and go out there, and it's dangerous, it's hostile to us, I have an idea. Let's just create, we have 17 plus acres. Let's, a lot of bathrooms. Let's create a protective retreat away from the world that we never really have to go out there. Sort of a holy huddle that we protect ourselves and create a culture within ourselves, because that world out there, they don't like us. Well, I don't think Jesus would be real wild on that idea. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5, where he describes what it means to be part of his family, he said this, Matthew 5, beginning in verse 3. You are the salt of the earth, but the salt has lost its taste. How shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under the people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to the whole house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Or as our verse says right here, God is a sender rather than calling us to go within ourselves. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. We're called to go to a world that's counter to the way that God has called us to live. We're to be salt and we're to be light. Unfortunately, there are Christians or denominations, our own denomination, has responded to God's push to go. The way they believe to be effective is to be like the people they're going to. And I think that's losing the saltiness. I think that's a light that's become dark. And so we go to the darkness as dark. Well, that doesn't help them. We go as light. We go as salt. As Paul said in Romans chapter 12, do not be conformed to this world, fashioned after it, adapted to its external and superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the renewal of your mind. We're going to be different, and we are different. And the world's going to look at us and say, why are you different? We're swimming upstream. We're countercultural. We had a window in this country of opportunity where the cultural values reflected the same values found within the Christian message, the life of Jesus. But that window has closed. We live in a post-Christian culture. But Jesus understands that, and Jesus understood that. John chapter 16, verse 32. I've said these things to you that you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. But take heart, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Salt and light in a hostile environment. But he's with us to the end of the age. He has overcome the hardship. So how do we effectively go and be salt and light that others may come to understand, and not only understand, desire to leave their lifestyle and to follow the way of Jesus? It's going to take a lot of listening. A lot of listening. Listen to their struggle. Listen to their story. It's going to take a lot of asking. Wow, it's so easy for me to want to jump in and tell. But it's much more effective if I ask. Tell me about your life. Tell me what brings you joy. Tell me your struggles. And as you ask, after you've listened, then they begin to ask you. Then you tell. You begin to tell about how God has called you to live and how it is God helps you to live the way that He helps you, that He's called you to live. And of course, you love them. As broken, as rebellious, as different as they are, you love them. But at the same time, you're always salt and you're always light. Never losing your saltiness, never dimming your light. I am so excited about the opportunity we have this September into October to join what we believe will be 1,000 churches across the Metroplex to reach this hostile culture, the searching, the hurting, the broken, not the church, but the people out in the world through this Explore God movement. It's exciting this week. I have a meeting here on Wednesday of local pastors that have said, we're in. And we're going to do some planning. There's meetings all over the Metroplex this week of neighborhood groupings of pastors talking about what they're going to do for the Explore God movement. Tuesday night here, I need your help. I need small group leaders. I need places to host small groups, homes, coffee shops here at the church. I need you to come Tuesday night and hear what this is all about and realize it's not rocket science. It's a lot of listening. It's a lot of asking. And then it's telling. It's not hard at all. It's just we just need the containers in which 10 or 12 people can get together and ask their questions, where we can be salt and light and draw people to know Him. July 4th weekend. We pause and we say thank you to our forefathers. What a wonderful country they established. What wonderful principles it was established upon. But we come to the realization it's not 1776. It's a very different environment. And we have to do different things differently. But not throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Always being salt and light. Knowing that our life will be different than theirs. And we'll get pushback. But if we do a lot of listening and asking, and then we tell, some that began to be hostile will begin to drop their guard and ask you, what makes you tick? It's not surprising to Jesus, the culture environment we're in. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that you understand how hard it is as followers of you to live in this world that is so rebelling against you and your ways. We even see churches, denominations, and the Episcopal Church responding in a way that is not your way. Help us to stand tall. Help us not to compromise who we are and what you call us to be, but help us to listen, to ask, and then tell, and of course, to love. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.